here's what we're doing. We're going to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. We're going to make some progress tonight. Probably try to bust past verse 25 if we can. But these are very important things, especially based on the lifestyle that is the culture of the United States, especially, but setting the trends from Hollywood and everywhere else around here to people all over the world. These things that are spoken of over 2,000 years ago here in the New Testament help us to be able to understand how to handle things today. We're not getting in the weeds on it. We're not going to go, you know, people are people. People make choices. They do what they want to do. You can't stop people from doing what they want to do. You know, I found that out as a pastor. You know, because my heart hurts. It didn't hurt until I became a pastor. I didn't give a rip about nobody until God gave me the heart for people. And that is the anointing of the pastor, the care for God's sheep, or else I'd be out there looking for myself only also like everybody else. But God gives the pastor the ability to be able to care for people and really sometimes to hurt for them and want to be able to see things change in their lives. And sometimes it's almost you want to shake them. You want to scream in their face. You want to say, what is wrong with your head? What are you doing? Because you see them going away that you know, sometimes because of the experiences that you've had as a pastor, in my case, or sometimes just because you know where that's going to go based on what the Word of God says, you want to just shake them, you want to wake them, you want to help them. You know, if you could take them home and just lock them up and say, you're not doing that. you would do that if you could, but no sense in going to jail. That ain't going to help nobody. So it's important for us to realize that God cares for you. Why? I'll have to ask him, because I don't know why he cares so much for us. He cares so much until he takes care of us in every way possible. Say amen to that. So we're at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. That's where we're going to pick it up. We're going to get past this. I promise. We're going to get past this. It's still highlighted from last time we were here, Kathy. I'm telling you that. Highlighted here in my Bible with all of the notes and scribbles and all that kind of stuff in my Bible and also on my iPad. So let's get ready to receive the Word of God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go. We need a reader, and we like to be able to have somebody to read. And so if you would read from Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18, we want to be able to give you an opportunity to be able to study this along with us. This is our Wednesday night book night. This is Don and Kathy, and we are live tonight. Alive and kicking in Jesus' name and in living colors. Thank God. I love my Amen. Color. Go ahead.
Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
Stop right there. I said abandonment. That is the first level of abandonment here in Romans chapter 1. You're going to see 3 to 4 of them. We could make it 4, but it's clearly 3 abandonments. What you do not want to do is to have God to leave you alone.
Amen.
You don't want that. You really don't. You may think that, you know, because we live in such a self-centered society, it's like, it's my thing, starting 1967 to 70. It's my thing. I do what I want to do. You can't tell me who to sock it to. Okay, y'all remember that. Some of you old enough to remember that. You want to act like you don't know that what I'm talking about. But, you know, you got caught up in that. Because even McDonald's, when I was in advertising, that kind of stuff, they're the ones that brought in, you deserve a break today. Everything was you. All advertising turned to selfishness throughout this nation, and they caught everybody. And that's what helped McDonald's to build up more and more and more. by talking about you, okay? Keep your eyes on your fries. That all that kind of, this kind of advertising that was going on about just you, me. Okay.
You're finished?
Oh, you're me. Okay.
But it says that their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. I want to read you this, another scripture, because you said, well, how did that happen? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly how. And don't ever forget this. See, hear the word and really listen to what you're hearing and put it in your heart, apply it to your life and all that good stuff. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 4, it says, whose minds, because it goes with that scripture, who minds the God of this world. Age,
yes.
Or world, but the God of this age has blinded. See, this is a serious thing when right. people, because they're dealing with Satan, the enemy, and the devil has blinded their
right.
mind.
Right.
And it says the God of this age. So things that's going on now in our culture, that's acceptable, that's against the word of God. See, it's the enemy that's blinded that person to that truth, and it goes back up to who suppressed the truth in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So they're suppressing God's word, the truth, with unrighteous living
right.
and choices
right.
that they're making. And it's really Satan. And we have to remember that's a serious thing. When they are lost, they don't believe the word of God. They're not acting in the word of God. Even those that say they're Christians and they are living according to the world and not according to the Bible,
right.
their minds are darkened by mm-hmm. Satan. It's mm-hmm. the enemy.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be deceived
right.
or I don't want Satan to blind me at all
right.
in any way, form or fashion. I don't want the enemy, but it's the devil.
Right.
It's not just them. It's the devil that's working, you know, with the culture and the things that's going on, and they're believing that, and they believe it because their mind, it says there, okay, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. That's a serious thing.
No, there's three things.
And so we need to pray against that. If we're praying for our friends, coworker, loved ones, we need to come against the enemy that's blinding their mind, and that's why they can't know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three things. Number one, there is a God of this world, small g,
yeah.
but people allow that God to God over them or the Lord over them. Number two, the more you submit yourself to the darkness, the darker it gets and you don't see what's going on. So you may start out with a little sin, but that little sin starts darkening
yeah.
your ability to sense that it's even wrong to do those things.
Amen.
So you fall further and further into darkness. And see, that word, operative word that is for tonight, which is abandonment, you don't want to get to the point where you've fallen into this lifestyle of whatever it is, to where it's so dark until you can't see your way. And now God will submit himself away from you. He will withdraw himself from you and leave you in that darkness.
Yeah.
It is a terrible place to be. I was, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up, I think it was yesterday morning, and started giving me the chronicle of that. He said, I showed you three different areas of how to go to hell. When I first was affected by these visions that God gave to me, because it was in the spirit, I didn't physically go anywhere, but it was in the spirit. The first thing is that when I was laying in my bed on that Tuesday morning, about 10:30 in the morning, we were just resting, and all of a sudden I could sense that there was in my chest like a little black box that was open and was empty. And it was like my salvation was gone. And then while I was laying there, God had me experience this, and he told me this again and again and again. In fact, it inspired me to send out texts and emails to pastors and folks all over, some of you in this congregation today, to get yourself ready to hear the story about this. Because God said, you got to tell this story. And I, while I was laying there, there was a little thing like a medallion on my chest. And the next thing that happened, it flipped off. And I tried to catch it, but it flipped so fast and so high, I couldn't catch it. And the, it came to my spirit, that's the anointing, you've lost it. And while I was there, then I began to sense, and this was after, this was the second thing that I had. This was after I had seen in Hades, the underworld, where people look like they're all grunged out, okay? They just look like, they look unkept, they look unclean. They all look like they were just homeless trying to make it, but they were in the underground, underworld. About 12 feet is what I could sense under the world, under the ground. And I had seen that already. But then as soon as this anointing flipped off of me, and let me just say this. I was explaining this to a pastor in this city, a young man that I helped to mentor. And now he's pastoring. His father passed away. Very well-known pastor in the Kojic Church and bishop. And as I was explaining to this young man what happened, his father experienced the exact same thing. The anointing left him. He said it was a medallion that flipped off of him before he died. And I said, what? And he started crying. He started weeping while I was telling him this. A young man, he's been here before. We've helped him. I helped him to know that God was telling him that he was going to take over his church, that church, not his brothers, in this city. He lived on the east side. But when he said that, that Pastor Shorter, and he's just weeping and weeping and weeping. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, Pastor Shorter, that's exactly what happened to my dad before he died. He said there was like a medallion kind of thing on his chest that flipped off of him. And God told him, that's the anointing. And God allowed me to understand that. And then as soon as that happened, I began to feel like I'm falling. And falling and falling and falling. Then I could sense for 2.5 days, I could see myself in this pit falling and falling and falling for 2.5 days. And Jesus was there, though. And I turned to Jesus. While I'm falling, he was there. I mean, you know, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he was there. I said, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at the right hand of the Father? And he never really answered me. And I felt like, I felt for 2.5 days that I was falling and falling while I was dealing with all that sickness and all that stuff, all that thing where I couldn't eat, that if I ate within 20 minutes, it was out of my body, and I had malabsorption where I lost 97 pounds. All that was going on, all this sickness. This was in between another surgery that I had. But anyhow, I was falling and falling for this day and a half, two and a half days. And then all of a sudden, I ended up in this coffin thing, laying on my back, looking around. And the third thing God showed me, because it was so alone, that's what I'm talking about with this abandonment. Jesus wasn't present there. I didn't sense nobody. It was like I was suspended in space. It was the weirdest thing. And I looked over to my left. And when I looked over to my left, I saw the lake of fire. And I said in my spirit, there's nobody in it. And the Spirit of God said to me, it's because judgment hasn't come yet. You can't send anybody to the lake of fire right now because God's going to judge, and then he's going to send. Read your book of Revelations. I don't listen to the book of Revelation probably 50 times now, it seems like, because I'm listening again and again and again to understand the end times. Because, see, I was called off a scripture from the end times that talks about the last days. And really, my wife, Kathy, received a vision about the end times and about the rapture. And she was left. And that's one of the reasons she gave her life to Jesus Christ. 14 years old, God has showed her people coming out of the graves, dead people coming out of the graves that had died in Christ. And she tried to jump with her friend, Cheryl, who at 14 years old, I knew Cheryl. Cheryl and her in this dream tried to jump to be able to catch up with the people that were floating to meet Jesus. And she was crying because she didn't make it. And that scared her straight. That's the reason why she gave her life to Jesus Christ and has been committed ever since. So we both sort of had this sort of this end times kind of thing about us Which is why this calling to be able to teach people how to live in these last days is really part of our life. So we talk about what happens now, what's happening now, what the culture is now, and how to counter that culture and live so that you can be able to make it in through them gates. Because I saw that lake of fire, but I saw it from being in this casket kind of thing with a glass top on it. And I looked over to my left, and there it was, just burning and burning and burning. And at the time, I could only relate it to all those huge fires that the cameras would shoot down in Los Angeles when the fires were going on there. But it was worse than that. It was just continual fire. And you don't want to go there. There are no friends there. You think you're going to go to hell and party. Some people talk about, let's go to hell, let's party. You are not going to be partying. You're going to wish you'd never seen that place. And you need to know that this is real. What we're reading to you is real. When it talks about God, the eyes of our understanding is darkened. Go with me to Galatians, I guess it is. No, Ephesians 1:18. Let's go to Ephesians 1:18. It's in several places. Ephesians 1:18. Because, see, the spiritual leaders over your life should be praying for you consistently, as we do.
Yeah, we do.
We pray for our partners. We pray for our members. We pray for the body of Christ personally. But then our intercessors do, like they did tonight. Yeah. Look at 1:18. Because you should thank God that the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened. But when you go to the things of the devil or to the flesh, because your flesh can cover your spiritual eyes. It says, well, let's go to verse number 16. We'll start there because it'll give us a running start at this thing before we go back to the other scripture. Verse 16 instead of 18, if we could, please. It says, I did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul talking about, I'm praying for this church at Corinth, making mention of you in my prayers. Watch this next part. Look at what it says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit. Notice that now. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We teach the word of God by revelation. We teach and allow revelation, not just information. It's one thing to live by information, but it's another thing to live by revelation. Mm-hmm. Revelation comes from heaven. Right. You got to have a relationship with God to get some revelation. And there's revelation knowledge that you receive here. And you need to thank God that, first of all, your eyes are at least enlightened to be able to get a hold of it. Amen. And next of all, you're sitting in a room with someone that make sure that they spend time with God to get some revelation knowledge to deliver to you. So that your eyes will stay enlightened and get more and more enlightened. It is the spirit of wisdom of revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at the next part. Verse 18, where we're going. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, we're supposed to get more and more understanding. Our eyes are supposed to be more and more clear. Forget the cataracts in the spirit.
And not darkened.
Not darkened. The opposite of what we saw. So what he was praying is that you would have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of him. Not just how to do things for yourself, but how to be able to serve the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
In the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of him. Because as you serve God, as you please God, God will make sure you're pleased.
Amen.
Yes.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. You need to thank God that God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 now. I want you to see that. We're coming right back to this because I got to finish this. Because all of this has to be with darkened. And when you are in the dark, you feel abandoned. Have you ever walked down an alley and wish you wasn't there? Mm-hmm. You walk down one of them alleys. Them dark alleys. Man, I hope somebody's here to help me if something happens. See, because I was abandoned. God allowed me to go through these things so that I could bring it back to the body of Christ. And I was asking God today, saying, Lord, this is so amazing. How would you, how in the world, you allowed me to go through all this? But he says, you have to tell people. You have to let people know, because there's people that don't know, and some don't, they hear it and they don't believe. I don't have any situation with that. I don't have to deal with that. You don't believe, that's your problem.
Right, that's fine.
The thing that I have to do is deliver the word.
Right.
You have to believe it.
Right.
Or if you don't believe it, it doesn't work for you.
Right.
It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Why go back into it? Some of you came out of fornication. You came out of adultery. You came out of drug addiction. You came out of drinking. Why go back to it? See, I don't believe you need to drink anything stronger than root beer. I know that don't go well, especially with some elements of the church. They believe you're supposed to drink. And that you can drink. And I know of ministries that have a beer ministry as part of their outreach so they can reach the people. Why don't you reach them with root beer? Forget your beer. Why? Because wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, cause you to be enraged. And whoever is deceived thereby is a fool. So do you want to be tiptoeing close to a fool or not? See, in some things you have to give up because you can't handle them. Men think they can handle, now women think they can handle pornography. You can't handle it. It changes your brain. It physically will cause your brain to get old.
Amen.
Research has been done. They had pictures. Dr. Amen, of course, the psychologist, Christian psychologist that has looked at probably 50,000 brains. I don't know how many brains he's looked at. He shows these pictures of a person heavily into pornography and a person that is heavily into God, and you can see physically the change that pornography does to people's brains. You can't handle it, brother. I don't care how strong you think you are. Sister, you can't dabble in that. Because you got to talk to the sisters too now. Because they're perverted. Mm-hmm. This is my assignment. Don't look at me. I'm supposed to talk like this because nobody else on the avenue will. You ain't gonna hear no bunch of, and see, you take what you can. You know, it's sort of like hot air or hot, getting too close to the fire. You come in here and you get heated up, and I got to get back up. You know, miss a week or two, that's okay. And then come back, get heated up again. See, because you have to be able to take this. God wants you, he said, this people have I, Isaiah chapter 45, I have formed for myself. This people have I formed for myself. They will proclaim my praise.
Amen.
He's not looking for you to be somebody else's halfway whatever. He wants you totally committed to him. And last night, the women, the meeting that I heard about, Monday night rather, I heard you guys were just rocking and rolling in the spirit. Praise God. You need that. You need deliverance sometimes. Sometimes you need to get to the point where you get the demons knocked off you.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be doing in Portland, Vancouver. Not this Friday night, but next Friday night. We're going to help people get delivered. You need to invite your relatives, friends, and enemies to be with you. If you're going down there, or if you're not going, tell them to go down there and receive, because that's what God is sending us across this state of Washington and all through the Pacific Northwest to do. Watch this now. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. He owns you.
Yes.
See, I think we get false conversions.
Yeah, I think so too.
People get saved and don't know what they're getting into. It's like signing a contract for a new BMW and you don't know what your payment's going to be. You have no idea what it's going to cost to fix that sucker, okay? Or, you know, Rolls Royce, okay? Bentley, somebody gave you a Bentley. You ain't going to be able to put the... And then all of a sudden you got some noise in the transmission. Lord, help us today. What you going to do with that?
You know, a lady, one of the women came up to me after the service on Monday night. And she said to me, she said, I died tonight. And at first I got in the flesh, you know, because anointing had left me, you know. I'm saying, what? You know,
what happened to you?
And then I quickly went back, you know, in the spirit and said, yeah, that's right. Because even Paul said, I die daily.
That's right.
And I think there's too many believers that are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't died
instead
to them.
Instead of Christ in you.
Right. The hope of glory. They still are, they haven't allowed Jesus to really live through their lives. Right. And I really believe we have too many Christians that are still, you know, they're
and
not fully
not
committed.
Popular. This is not popular, what we're teaching you tonight.
No,
it's
you
not,
won't hear
not,
this
it's
in
not
a lot
on the,
of churches.
On the list
you
of people, bucket list,
it.
I want to hear this yeah. teaching. This is yeah. not really popular. Because we're telling you about your flesh, and we love our flesh.
And God loves us. He's going to tell us the truth.
Right.
He'll correct us, too. And that's what he said. He loves those that he corrects. Mm-hmm. And so we need to know that if God is, you know, correcting us because he loves us. Mm-hmm. And it's just like our children. We're going to correct them when they're wrong. So we should let the word of God is what I'm saying. Minister to us, correct us, help us to change and grow. And as believers, we should be growing from yeah. glory to glory.
Yeah, we should hunger and yeah. thirst
for righteousness.
For righteousness.
That is so true.
Okay,
that's
not just
word.
Hunger and thirst for yeah. a new pizza and a Diet Coke, yeah. of course.
We have to
Diet Coke because the pizza.
We really
got
do
a whole
have to
fat.
Die to self, and we have to make that decision.
Diet Coke's helped.
Every yeah. day, we have to make that decision to die to self because then you're going to really live. You know, really. Because people think that God is trying to take fun away from them.
I know.
And they don't even know what fun really is.
I know.
I mean, when you die to self and you really live for Christ, I mean, it is, you have so much, you have life, a new life is
yeah.
fun. I mean, you know, we're having fun. I thank God for that.
Yeah.
And we don't need to get drunk. We don't need,
nope.
because one thing I know, if we don't drink, we won't never get drunk. And so, we get drunk in the spirit, you know, and life is just really fun when we do it God's
right.
way.
Right. So here's what it says. Let's finish this off, and we're going to go back to Ephesians 1:18. It says that you may proclaim. This is the reason why.
Yep, there it is.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you
yeah.
out of darkness.
Yeah.
But see, God can't just call you out without calling you into. So he called
right.
the children of Israel out of Egypt, I say this all the time,
yeah.
to bring them into the promised land. He's not going to call you out of drugs and alcohol. He's right. not going to call you out of sickness and leave you sitting there in limbo.
Yeah.
He didn't call you out of misery, out of depression, out of whatever, out of loneliness.
Yeah.
Being by yourself to be able to leave you by yourself. He calls you out to bring you in. He didn't call, and this is what really bugs me about people. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do, but the devil tells you, and you follow that. How come you can't hear God? God is very clear, and sometimes we just don't want to believe God because we don't want to believe God. Who called you? Who called you is what I'd like to ask. Make it a question. Who called you? Somebody had to call you. I mean, even when your phone rings, even if it's spam, scam, whatever, you know somebody called you. And let me give you a hint. You call my phone. If I don't see your name come up, I ain't answering. And if you don't leave a voicemail, you will never hear from me. I get about 25 of these calls a day. We have $305,000 for you. We have $280,000. Our $160,000 loan has already been approved that you asked for. You liar. I never asked for that money. And if you're going to lie about me asking about the money, how in the world will I trust you if I wanted to borrow the money? But they'll call you and call you and call you. Your name don't come up. That's in my address book. I ain't answering you. And if you don't leave a voicemail and your name wasn't there, you will never hear from this man. Never. I don't care if you got a bazillion dollars waiting for me on the street corner. I'm not calling you because I don't know if you're real. And if you're real, you should at least be able to leave your voice on my voicemail.
Amen.
Don't send me no dumb texts telling me that all I got to do is sign right here and I can have the $350,000 I asked for, which I didn't ask for. You idiot. Now, how can I trust you at all? This is what world we live in.
Yeah.
We didn't have this going on back in 1973. Well, we didn't have cell phones either. Thank God we did. We were better off in some ways. I think we had beepers. Everybody had a beeper. He got in trouble with beepers, too, having the girlfriend beep him. And the wife saw the beep. People get messed up with everything. You know what I mean? They can't even handle a beeper. Lord, help us today. Okay. He called you out of darkness. Say, I'm out of darkness. See, what you got to do is you got to understand, God is not a fuzzy God. He says, if you're lukewarm, you're out. You're out. I spew you out of my mouth. He says that in the book of Revelation. I'd rather you to be hot or cold. He don't care which one, as long as you make a decision to be one or the other. Either be hot or cold. See, I don't want no fuzzy wife. I wonder if she loved me. You better be hot, girl. Yeah, I'm serious. You better be hot for this man. Not hot for men, hot for this man. Oh, I'm hitting some.
I feel the same way too, you know, the opposite.
Yeah, that's right.
Reverse.
Well, you know, and we should be hot for God. God Almighty, and we're going to put him up there along with, you know, our new car and the house we want. Forget that. Or the raise. We're going to put him along with that. No, we got it. And some of us, we put them up there with cigarettes. You won't even give up the cigarettes.
But, you know, sometimes we do things because we need love, because we don't know the love of God. And I, you know, we've been in ministry a long time because you brought something up. And I've known of people, women, that will allow their husbands, you know, to do things because they feel so bad about themselves and they just want a man in the house type of thing. But when you get to know God and you...
I've known
God,
some wives.
Yeah. When you get
that
to know God...
That have been acting a fool and the husband just...
Yeah. When you get
I got
to know
the
God
love of God in me, yeah. So whatever she wants to do. No, you're not,
see,
you
that's
rascal.
That's not godly... And that's
you
not.
You need to rebuke that spirit.
Yeah. And it just shows that you don't
and
really have
the love of God. And they get darker and darker and in more and more darkness.
Because perfect love, a mature love, the Bible says, cast out fear. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have fear about that person, you know, leaving you or what. If you, when you get closer to the Lord, he becomes, you know, I was reading this today, and I just love this right here. I mean, it just made me almost just cry. Can I read that scripture real quick?
Go ahead.
I mean, let me just read this real quick. Okay.
Get the tissue ready.
No, I'm not going to cry. I just love this.
It's okay.
I will be a father to you, because we always talk about this. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And it just blessed my heart, because when you develop that relationship with the Lord and he becomes a father to you and you know that he loves you, then you don't have to try to get love in all the wrong places.
That's right. And you don't want to disappoint your father.
And you don't. And then when you know you're a daughter to the Lord, I mean, it just, I don't know, it just makes you feel special. Mm-hmm. And you know God will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
But it's a developed relationship. You have to develop this relationship with
the
Lord.
Well, there's a spirit of abandonment that some
people... But that
people,
goes with that. You know?
Yeah, which some people deal with.
Yeah.
And so as we're talking about our key word for tonight, or our operative word for tonight, abandon... there's a spirit of abandonment, and actually you had to deal with that because you were abandoned as a child, and we identify this. This where people, they just go to church, but they never get delivered. They never get set free.
Right.
They carry the same baggage around for years.
For years.
Hate for men because he messed up on you and you had to divorce him.
Right.
You know, kids, I can't stand kids because my children didn't turn out the way I wanted them. I mean, so many things we can lock into for dumb reasons and not realize we need to get delivered from that thought now.
That's right.
Our mind is darkened in that area.
And we need to ask for deliverance sometimes. Not wait to a special service, but I mean,
well, we had a special service, and I have special services. I'm giving a disclaimer right now. Don't come to no anointed services where we're going to pray for people to get delivered and try to hang on to your demons. Because we've had people, and the Spirit of God will be telling on you while you are in the service. He will be telling us what's going on with you. It's like going to a physician and keeping all your clothes on, saying, you ain't touching me. How are they going to ever find out whether you got a temperature or what's going on with you? Look down your throat. Look in your ears. I mean, he checks your eyes. He checks everything, you know? Yeah. And you want them to, in a physical way, to be able to, he or she, to be able to know what's going on with you. But then we come to church and we want to cover up all of this sin, all this flesh. And when the Spirit of God starts revealing it, we got people right now that have left the church because I was anointed to be able to minister in a service and called out what was going on with them. And they got embarrassed and wanted to hang on to the demons. They still got them. And they hate our guts because the Spirit of God was operating. Just don't come up. Stay your rump in that seat and keep your demons.
Or, you know, or at least if the Spirit of God is talking to that, you know, you or whatever minister, and you don't bear witness with that, don't get upset.
Right.
You know, but at least go pray about it.
Because maybe you're in darkness, you can't see it yet.
Yeah, and go pray about it, and deal with God about it. Mm-hmm. You know, because I remember when my first lady said something to me. She's corrected me twice, and I didn't get mad at her and hated her and left her or whatever. And but I just searched my heart and said, And realize, that's true. I have to deal with that, when she said that to me. And I didn't want to hear it because sometimes we want to put off where we are, like me, I've been a Christian for so long. So, but she's been a Christian longer than I've been a Christian. and so she has more time with God than I do. But I respect her enough and love her enough to receive that correction. And instead of, because we can come up and say, I know so much I want to say. It's a form, I'm going to sidetrack. It's a form of religion, too.
We're going
and
there.
Pride, because it's like, and what's that? Oh, it's the Pharisee spirit where we dealt with that before, where when you expose that spirit to the person, and then it's like
they feel bad spiritually.
They feel
around
bad spiritually.
All of the people they're supposed to be this big Christian, and all of a sudden I've got a problem.
We hang on to that, but we have to see that's a form of pride, and that'll keep you bound,
Like Naaman. Let me get the scripture.
That's a
like
good
Naaman,
one.
Who had to be dipped 7 times.
Yeah.
In the muddy, and we've been
but
there.
But he didn't
the
want to
muddy,
be dipped.
The muddy, skinny, shallow Jordan River, where if you're being dipped, you're going to get in the mud.
Right. You're going to come out.
And he came out. You couldn't even recognize him probably because there was so much mud in the Jordan River.
But he
dipped him 7 times, and he probably looked like a monster by the time he got done. And he's supposed to be this big.
But
he
didn't want to be. Remember, he said, I thought this prophet was going to just wave his hand over me. Wave his hands over me and I was going to get healed. I really have to go and dip in that muddy river right there? Are you telling me?
Because what we got to get rid of is the pride.
Yeah, and sometimes, and I could have had that kind of attitude, but respecting her and loving her and know that she wants the best for me, then I received that correction from her, and I just dealt with it. And I got free at the age of 50. I'll never forget it. And from that spirit. And so, you really need to trust your leadership, your pastor and wife, and you have to know that they love you. And then you will never get mad and leave the church because something is said.
If you want to hold on to your demonic forces, let me finish.
Yeah.
If you want to hold on to what you have, number one, don't come forward when the anointing is here for you to get delivered.
That's true.
Because you may get embarrassed because people will find out you got luggage too. We all got luggage. Second thing is you may get angry to the point where you go find people that do compromise. And that's the church you'll go to. You want to go to a church that's not going to require righteous living. We're reading the Bible. We're not. Though we're giving you a lot of stories, we're still taking you back to the Word of God. You got to deal with the Word. And see, sometimes people, they just don't want to try that hard. But I'm telling you, you're either hot or cold. lukewarm doesn't do for the Lord. And I wish it did. I'd love to be just lukewarm for the Lord. And I was really, in some ways in my life, there were times when I was lukewarm. I was like, you know, I'll do what I can do when I can do it, Lord. So I'll get back to you when I can. I ain't no more. Everything is totally for God. Now, I had to grow into this. It took time for me to grow into this. Okay? So I didn't just fall off the turnip truck and all of a sudden here I am. Look at me. I'm super Christian. You know, that didn't happen and it doesn't happen. You have to grow into this from glory to glory, and we get what we grow into is the spiritual life. We grow out of the flesh.
But you have to be in the right environment to grow.
You got
to
have people.
Because
help
if you go to a place where they compromise, then you won't grow.
Right. Because there's any flavor church. You can find all flavors of churches.
You really can.
Like I said, there's one with beer ministries. If you like beer, you can go there and be part of that ministry. I mean, there's churches that they don't say anything if you commit adultery and you're a leader. They won't stop you. They won't say you shouldn't be doing that. Well, see, there's the churches that they don't care if you tithe or not. They don't care if you give to the church or not. They're going to put you in leadership. But the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we have to be able to follow what the Word of God says. And again, I like you hot or cold. Either way, at least I know how to deal with you. Lukewarm is too fuzzy for me. And that's what God says. And all of you, we really want this. You don't want to be wondering if your car is going to start right now. Not tonight. You want to know you can go out there and, you know. So if your battery is starting to go down, you go get a new one. Or make sure that thing is charged and holding a charge. Because it can get charged and lose the charge overnight. Now you're sitting up there with a click, click, click. You want a hot battery. And then starting helicopters, that's one of the key things you got to do. You got to make sure that that battery is at a certain voltage. Because if not, it may cost you $350,000 to start that engine and mess it up. So if the voltage is not there, you shut that thing down as fast as you can. Don't continue to try to start it. Make sure the voltage is there good and high until the generator or alternator starts working and starts bringing up that power. And you want to make sure it starts out hot, or else you will have what is called a hot start. So you don't want to do that. You want in your life, you want heat. You want light. Light makes heat. Okay? God came to this place and he said, let there be light. The first thing he did was turn the lights on. And so we have to realize God wants you to be living in light, not in darkness. Did you get that? Now, I'm going to read this last part. It says, who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now, whether you act like you're out of darkness into a marvelous light is up to you. You do what you want to do. Because you can be out of darkness and still act like you're still in darkness. Y'all understand what I just said?
Yeah.
But God doesn't want you to live in that darkness. He wants you to get out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Not no fake light. Not no black light. Okay? Yeah. Not no fluorescent light. Into his light. Okay? And what we're seeing here, because it gets darker and darker for these people here in first chapter of Romans. And we need to know that. And so let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1:18.
Let me give them this real quick.
Okay.
Because you just said hot. So even God wants your prayers hot. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
So you praying mealy mouth prayers. Maybe that's why it ain't working. Because you really don't have faith behind it. You got to come against them demons. You got to come against the situation. You got to speak to the mountain. Okay, speaking to the mountain means you got to open your mouth. You got to really say something from the heart.
Yeah.
So it's not like, God, if you really want to help me today, you could heal me if you wanted to. In Jesus' name, I call it. I call it done, Lord.
That's not
I hope you will heal me by tomorrow, because I got to go to work, Lord. You know what I mean? You remember when I work still? In Jesus' name, amen. God's like, oh. Did somebody say something? In other words, here's Hebrews chapter 5. Come boldly, or is it chapter 10? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Because it says, by this time, in Hebrews it says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teaching other people how to live like this. Instead of every week, I come back and get taught the same thing, can't tell nobody nothing. You should be so hot until you're causing other people to feel the heat of your life. But by this time, you should be teachers. And you need to ask yourself the question, is it by this time for me, for this or that, this or the other? If by this time, I should be. And the Bible says teachers. Now, I'm not saying a called teacher in the body of Christ, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm talking about where you can be able to help people to know how you got to where you are in your life. And you should have something to show for your life. After a while, this Christian thing shouldn't just be about slipping on the same ice.
We should be able to
just
say,
spinning wheels.
We should be able to say what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And can you say
that's
that
it,
to someone?
Sister.
See, and sometimes it was like, well, that's pride. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. If Paul can say it, we should be able to say
right.
it. Follow me as I follow Christ.
The eyes of your understanding, Ephesians 1:18, this is what Paul prays. This is what we pray for you all, that you're not duped by some idiot that treats you like you all that and bag of chips because they're trying to get something from you. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so you can understand. I don't just want to hear. I want to understand what's going on. That you may know what is the hope of your calling. Man, God called me out of that darkness into his marvelous light. We just saw that. I'm not letting the enemy blind me again. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? You have an inheritance as a saint. All of this stuff we kick to the side when we allow the enemy to try to come to us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I got to end it right here. We're going to read a couple more scriptures before we leave because we're going to say we're on the next group of scriptures, okay? I told you we're going to make some progress, right? I know we've had to go to a lot of detours. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Watch this now, because God doesn't want you blind. And see, as a believer, you should not be ignorant of what the enemy's trying to do with you. But sometimes, you know, we just sit there and we just, whatever you want to do, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But know this, that in the last days, I submit to you, I believe we're there. Perilous or dangerous times will come in those days. So a day's going along, not the same peril or the same danger as last time, but there's something else crazy. My wife and I was just driving on Pacific Avenue today. Now, I'm going to paint this picture to you because we called 911 and they took it. A car, we're sitting in there's two lanes going forward, 112th and Pacific. We're going south on Pacific. There's a turn lane and then there's two lanes. The light turns green. A car whips, probably going about 55 to 60 miles an hour, whips around, we're the first car, around us while we're going through the intersection and goes into the lane. Coming from the other side and comes in front of us. I pulled up behind it, snapped photos. Turns out to be a government vehicle. A federal government vehicle. We got the license plate. I got about 4 or 5 photos of it. Called 911. They are looking for that guy because probably it's stolen. Because nobody that wants to keep their job with the government is driving like that. See, there's dangerous times. That was very dangerous. That car could have not, it would have rolled us over. It was going so fast because the light had just changed and we're coming halfway through the intersection. I'm just trying to tell you. And all we said is, thank God for the angels. See, because we didn't have time to pray, God, help us. No, we already been praying all day. We've already been in our secret place. And some of you, you need to listen to what she was teaching about secret place. You ain't got one yet. You need one. You need to go home and I don't care if it's the toilet room. You need to find a secret place. The bathtub. Go close the shower curtain. You need a secret place. And I'm very serious about this because a lot of us don't have the relationship with God that we need. So we can't hear. So we come here to hear. It's sort of like having your ears plugged but just coming to church to listen. You need to have a time with God. I'm telling you, seriously. And this is the core. This is the Wednesday night folk. I'm telling you, you need to have some special time just for you and God. Maybe it's early in the morning because that's your best time, your freshest. Or maybe it's late at night because you're a night owl. Whatever is your best time should be God's time. And it doesn't have to be all night. You can spend a half an hour, an hour with the Lord. Sometimes 15 minutes will cut it. And it's not while you're driving down the street with idiots like what we dealt with today. You need to have some special time for you and God so you can hear what is God telling you. Instead of waiting until you come up in here and hearing from the anointing, that's wonderful. But you need to have some special time for just you and God. Amen. That was a powerful word. And a lot of you, us, we didn't grab a hold of it. I did. I certainly grabbed a hold of it. Because you got to understand, when the prophet speaks, and I'm just not saying first lady here because she's the prophet of God or prophetess. When a prophet speaks, you need to really perk up. Because they don't always have the anointing or the unction to speak. So when God gives them an opportunity and gives them direction to speak, you need to understand it's a word for you. So when she's speaking as a prophet, now I'm a pastor teacher, I'm consistently sounding out the word. I'm consistently, but when she's speaking or the prophet is speaking, whoever that prophet is, that is a calling that gets a special unction from the Lord only for a short period of time. And so you should take it seriously when you hear from not just this prophet, but a prophet that is truly a prophet. And so we thank God we have someone in the house that's a prophet that truly is a prophet. Some of the things that we have in this church, she said it would come to pass, and it came to pass. See, I know, because I'm not going to sit around just listening to anybody, but I know when she's speaking, we need to listen. And when you need to get a secret place, you need to get a secret place. But you know, the last days will be perilous. Times will come. Let's finish this off and then we're done. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves. Put that in the, let's go to the TPT. Go to TPT on this one, okay? You don't have TPT? Okay, let me do it myself. I thought it was on there. You guys don't have it either? Does anybody? No, it's on your phone usually if you got UVision or something like that, whatever, UVersion, whatever it's called. Anyhow, okay, I'll read it out of the TPT and then we'll close. But this is important. I got it. It's important because it says, but you need to be aware that this is more of our vernacular in today's society. You need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will be extremely fierce. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Now, I want to talk about this for a moment. I will not support unthankfulness. Whatever God does for you, you need to be thankful. And we're seeing this in the body of Christ. This is part of the last days. In the last days, people will be unthankful. You do stuff for you. They don't give a rip. They don't care. They never tell you thank you. They walk by you and say nothing. I don't participate with that no more. You do that to me one time, you are never going to see me. I'm not spending any time with you. I have got to make sure that you are thankful because now I'm supporting what God doesn't.
And you were talking to someone, I'm not going to say the name, I don't want to say.
You don't have to.
But you were talking to someone just the other day, and this person was saying the same thing.
Yeah, they were.
So tired of being.
Yeah, it was another minister.
I've gone all out of my way.
Right.
To show my kindness, to do this, to do that. And they were saying that this person just are so, this person is so ungrateful.
Unthankful.
And just can't say thank you, can't. I mean, it's the worst thing, and we have to look at this. This is in the last days, so we should be so thankful when people do things for us. When
overly thankful.
I mean, really, we should really be, because really, they don't have to do anything for you.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now, look what unthankful runs with. Unholy.
Yeah.
Unthankful, unholy. Yeah, watch this now. This is the last days, what people are like. As a believer, we don't want to be like this. We don't want to be like this. I refuse to be unthankful. And if I miss it with anybody here, thank you now. I just thank God for you. There's so many people doing so many things that God has given us the vision for that it's hard for me to get around and say thank you to everyone. Because ultimately, your reward will be from the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. But you got to understand, unthankfulness will turn away people that would bless you. Sometimes, because you're not thankful, you're missing stuff, and you don't know what you're missing, because if you would have been thankful, and you really need to make sure your children are thankful.
Yeah.
Train them up.
Train them to be, thankful to everybody. Yeah. We've watched this with parents that train their children to be thankful. They are so blessed. And then the ones that like act like, you know, you're supposed to do it for me, you know.
Entitlement
spirit. Yeah. You need to get out of that. You need to tell these children you're not going to go far with that. You've got to learn how to be thankful, and we should be thankful for everything. I went through the process when I was just feeling like I was going to go to hell and die, and everything was going wrong for me, when all that sickness and disease, like God had turned his back on me. He allowed me to feel that so I'd know how people feel about that, because he never turned his back on me. But it felt like that, and sometimes you probably felt like that, that where's God? I need God right now. And so one of the things I started doing, I turned around, and I mean, if I had a plate of greens and cornbread, I would be like, God, thank you. God, thank you for this greens and cornbread. And I was serious. Thank you, Lord, for this greens and cornbread. There's people that don't have no greens. They don't have no cornbread. They don't have a plate. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I really, from my heart, just one of the things, like, at least you can be thankful for what you got. Because I felt like, you know, well, God was slighting me. But all of a sudden, it hit me. You need to be thankful because of the mercy of God on your life. And I started, man, I would take 3 minutes just thanking God for the beans and peanuts. Amen. Thank you for the beans. Thank you. I was serious. It wasn't a fake thing. But men will be lovers of themselves. They will be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, runs along with unthankful and unholy. You need to teach your children they need to be thankful they got the parents that they got. Amen. Or parent. Amen. Thank God you've taken the time to raise those children. And let them know there's a whole lot of children that people just walk away from and just leave them, like they did this woman right here, who dealt with that spirit of abandonment. We had to come against that thing. We had to cast that demon out of her life and make sure it wasn't a generational curse to go to our children. Right. Last thing it says, let me read out of the TPT and we'll be done. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander, slaves to their own desires or their desires. They will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good, with brutal treachery. They will act out without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their own conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of the world more than the pleasures of loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from these people. For they are the ones who worm into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and steeped in sin. They're always learning, but never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. They can't get the revelation knowledge because they're so into the flesh. The eyes of their understanding has been darkened. And I got to say this because we're going to see this in Romans. Ladies, because you are more emotional, more affectionate, more of the feely, touchy kind of person, you got to watch it. Because people will play on that, especially men. And that doesn't mean you become a stone, but you got to watch because you are the nurturer. You are the one that can be able to be more leaning toward the affections of someone, and they can fake you out. So you have to watch it and not allow yourself to get to that. That doesn't mean you become a hard rock stone where you know, like a battle axe. You know, you don't want to be that, but you want to be on your toes because there are those that will creep into your house. You know, and we had some bozos doing that here at this church. We had at least one guy that we had to ban from the church because he would go to the women's house, talking about he's going to have a Bible study with them, and he would start worming into their lives and spending the night with them and all of this stuff, and then telling them, you need to pay your tithes to me. Then he went and printed a business card. One of the dudes printed a business card with Pastor Shorter on it, was passing it out as if he was Pastor Shorter. I said, that's it. My wife, she said, you ain't nothing but the devil. You ain't coming back in here. We got rid of him, but he was dealing with a lot of different issues. But you need to know that there are people that want to take advantage of you as your eyes get darkened, because as you get into that flesh and into that sin, you can't even see that sinful anymore. You smoking that dope, you drinking that drink, you having that sex, and you doing all this stuff, you stealing from the till at work, and you only, after a while, you don't even think nothing's wrong because God ain't done nothing. He ain't hit you in the head with a baseball bat. So it must be okay. God forgave me. I ask for forgiveness every time I do it, but you keep doing it. And God doesn't want you to live that way. Now, that's not going to be heard at every church you go to. What you're going to hear in some churches is that we all sin and come short of the glory of God. That's all right, brother. You working on it, ain't you? But you could work harder. You could work harder. You just old rascal, you don't want to work on it. You don't want to give up the flesh. Come on now. Okay, I got to turn my microphone off if I really say something. Okay, so anyhow, tonight we want to be able to make sure that we get that operative word about being abandoned, feeling like we're abandoned from God. Let's read a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to call it quits because we need to, okay? We're coming close to our time out. So we want to be able to finish this off. Let's read down to it, verse 26, which is taking us past 25, which I think is where we left before.
Well, then we'll come back around because I wanted to deviate.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to talk on the microphone if you're going to deviate.
Oh. Well, we'll come back around next week because it's a place we need to go, and I want to go there.
Okay, can we do that first thing next week?
Yeah, we can.
Would you please read?
If you're going to skip, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Keep reading down to 26. She may be able to finish what she's talking about anyhow. Go ahead.
Professing to be wise, they became fools.
Stop. Watch people that try to tell you they all that in a bag of chips. They know more than you. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Everybody wants to hand you their business card or give you their contact information, brag about what they are.
Yeah.
Watch that. Want to walk around, talk about their Reverend Dr. So-and-so and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. People will find out who you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out with all this old stuff hanging your shingle out, trying to talk about all the stuff you are. In the business world, in the personal world, all that kind of stuff, there comes a time to be able to speak and a time to shut up. And sometimes people will talk their way. They just got a gift of gab.
Yeah.
And they'll just be able to talk you under the table. Amen. So you have to watch that.
Amen.
And I'll say again, especially you ladies.
Amen.
Because you got compassion for people. Mm-hmm. More than a man. You know, you sort of just whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's like,
you know God,
he's like an ox too.
When you know God, he'll reveal those kind of things to you.
That's right. Because you get closer to God.
Because God knows the hearts of people. He'll show you. You know.
Go right ahead. Continue.
And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness.
That's the second abandonment.
Okay. In the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Let's go to 26 so we can say we made progress tonight.
For this reason, God gave them up to vile
Third
passions.
Third time, you're left alone, abandoned.
For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature.
Stop. This is what we're saying. See, the first thing the enemy tries to do in this thing is to come to the women. Ladies, you got to be watchful. What we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they ain't creeping into some dude's house, they're creeping into a woman's house. And the Bible says in one translation, leaving them laden with sins, and that when you study that out, it's like a person in a coffin with flowers on top going to the funeral. In other words, sending you to hell for their pleasure. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to get involved with that. And I know we're talking pretty pointed tonight, but my wife would say the same thing, and she probably has at the women's meetings. So I'm just saying to you, we're reading this in the Word of God. We need to make sure that we are wise about what happens with this, okay? That's all I got for tonight. All right. Thank you, Charles. Come on, let's give God some praise for the Word. It's the Word, whether you like it or not. It's the Word. Okay. So we like it. Yes. Yeah, see, I like it.
Thank you, Lord,
for not letting me be ignorant, but giving me understanding. The eyes of my understanding tonight have been enlightened, and I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.